Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
So what does it feel like at that moment when you know you've achieved your goal in life? That moment when you go, oh my God, dreams really do come true. It's not all about disappointments at the very end or anything like that. What does that feel like when it really happened? And it's no longer just a myth or a thought or a something. Reagan Smith knows that because she qualified for the Olympics last night. Carrie Tolleson knows that because she's qualified for the Olympics and made it. She joins us on the Shift Real Estate Hotline. Carrie, always good to visit with you. Thanks for giving us some time.
Thanks, Maxie. I mean, I just got the chills a little bit when you're talking like that. Well, you get me fired up.
Well, you know, I don't know what it is about our brains, but somehow we condition ourselves sometimes to believe. I remember Jay Robinson telling me this once, that the legendary wrestling coach for the University of Minnesota, and they're wrestling in the national championships. They've never won it. And now it's coming down to the last matches, and he realizes at a point in time that they're going to win the national championship. And I said, what went through your mind? And he said, what went through my mind was, this can't be true because something this good never happens to me. And I thought, you know, I kind of can relate to that, right? We're so used to, yeah, we're going to go for the win, but boy, be ready to be disappointed because it always seems like it's someone else. I've never asked you that question before. Mm-hmm. What was that? I don't even know what the process was like as to when you knew and in the trials and what that felt like to you at that very moment. Take us back to that.
Well, you know, for me, I was hoping to make the team in the 5K, and yep. I ended up not placing in the top three. And I went to drug testing that night. We were devastated, but I had one more race to run. I had the 1500, which I was not a favorite. I was good at it, but I was more so of a 3K, 5K runner, and they didn't have the 3K steeple then. So wow. I go into the 1500 as, you know, a name, but not a favorite. And then I led the race from start to finish. I won the trials. But I still really hadn't punched my ticket because I didn't have the A standard, Maxie. Like, you have to have the A time standard to make the team and to punch your ticket. If you win the trials with the B standard and no one else gets the A standard, like, there's a ton of different rules.
Really? So winning it, even first place, doesn't automatically qualify you?
No, it doesn't. So I went to Europe afterwards, and I was elated, and I thought, you know what, I was going to the Olympics, like, I knew that I could go and get that standard regardless if anyone else did. Like, I was, you know, I felt like an Olympian.
But so now you have to get the, if you get the standard, yeah, now after this, then there's no question, right?
Yep, then okay. It sealed the deal. And I went to Europe. I raced 5.5 times in, like, 12 days in 5 different countries. Like, I was trying to beat everyone from America time and time again, run faster. And I finally ended my chase in Sweden, and I went to the Olympics, and I remember Rulon Gardner's sparring partner, was over there, so the wrestlers would bring over people to help them train.
Yeah.
And I was with him getting my outfit, his training partner, and I said to him, oh my gosh, you're with Rulon, like, he's an Olympian. And that guy, like, I forgot for a second.
Yeah.
That I was too. And he said to me, Carrie, you're going to be an Olympian for the rest of your life. Don't you forget it. And that was my aha moment. Like, yes, I finished first at the trials. Yes, I knew in my heart I was going to go to Athens. But until I was actually there, got my uniform, and had someone else look me in the eye and say, you're an Olympian, that really hit home. And it was amazing. Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's all these different feelings. It, you know, did it really happen? Do I deserve this? You know, I've worked so hard for this. And yeah, it's just really cool to see Reagan and all the other Minnesotans that are going for it and hopefully achieving their dreams, and they'll never forget it.
So when you were going for the standard, if you're going down the stretch, do you have an idea? Is there a clock? Is there anything that you see visually that tells you if you're there as you cross the finish line? How does that work?
Yeah, well, for us in America here, it's so hard to make our team, especially in track and field and most sports, right? We have such a big country. So for me, I did think about splits, but not so much with 100 to go, because I was usually surrounded by so many athletes that I just needed to fight to win. And so the time usually came for us in track, and it usually does come in track and field. I just needed to get to that finish line first, or as close to it as I could. I remember with 500 to go at the Olympic trials, that was where I needed to move. That was my long drive home, because I was trying to outkick the 800 meter runners that were coming up to the 1500. So the 1500 meters, just short of a mile. You know, that's for the 800 meter runners, they want to sit and kick. But for us 5K runners going down, we want to run the kick out of those sprinters. So my plan was to get it going with over a lap to go. And with a lap to go, I just felt it. And it was a weird thing. Like, I had these mind games and these mental word cues and all these things, but I was in control, and I had such disappointment, Maxie, from the 5K not making that team. And everyone in Minnesota thought I was, you know, going to make that team.
Oh, I know. And you start thinking that, you know, you don't want to let them down, right?
You don't. And you think about, I mean, I only ran for 4 minutes, but a lot of things flash through your mind.
Yeah.
And I did. I remember crossing that line and thinking, I did it. Not only for me, my family, my coach, my teammates, but for Minnesota and now for the U.S. And it was pretty spectacular.
So the disappointment of this other thing that you see when you watch Reagan or anybody else is those people that come so close. Some of them are favorites, and they don't get the disappointment. How did that hit you when you didn't qualify in the 5K and you didn't know if you'd make it in the 1500?
It was terrible.
I mean, what do you do? How do you handle that?
Well, I remember sitting in drug testing, and of course, I had a partial test. So you have to have a full test in order to get out of drug testing. Otherwise, you got to sit there and keep on giving samples until you reach the limit. And so I was in there for a long time, and I got out, and one agent said to me right away, "Oh, Carrie, you can go and run this famous mile in Falmouth." And I was like, "I am not going to Falmouth. I am going to go to the Olympics in an event that might not be my best event." But I knew I belonged on that team. And so it was heartbreaking, but at the same time, I learned so much about me. Like, I came back from such devastation. I had everyone out there visiting and cheering me on, to run that 5K. They all had to go home devastated too and not come see me in the 1500. My sisters left. My coaches left. Everyone left. My mom and dad and Charlie were there. So, yeah, it was devastating. And you think, I have 4 more years till I have to try this again.
Might as well be 40 years at that point, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I had pneumonia in 2008. I did not make that team. So, you know, it was my time. And no matter what event I made it in, I was going to go. And it worked out.
Had it not been for pneumonia, would you have made it in 08? Were you a shoe-in, or what was it like then?
No shoe-in. Never a shoe-in. I mean, I think I obviously had the talent. I think I was at the right time in my career to really make it. And to get to the Olympics in a second round, you know, like your second chance, you're not, you know, all like, you know, looking at everything. You're not watching every move. You're there to really compete. It's your second time. So I was pretty upset to not make it in 2008. But, you know, I'm just thankful that forever, I'm not a former Olympian. I am an Olympian. And that's the thing. Like, Reagan and all these other athletes will be able to say they are an Olympian forever. Not former. They are an Olympian.
You know, the other part that we forget that I thought about last night because of her reaction when she looked at it and realized she had made the team and won was, it's easy for us to say, oh, you'll make it. Oh, you'll make it. Of course you're going to make it. What were you worried about? Until you do it, it means nothing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, she's, you know, obviously she's been a world record holder already. She's so young and so...
Yeah, so you say, well, of course she's going to make it. Well, until you do it, you don't.
Exactly. And there's so many good athletes that are just right there. And, you know, what's funny about the Olympic Games is most of the athletes there, at least for track and field, they're super banged up. Everyone is right there hanging by a string.
Really?
So, yeah, I mean, when you get there, your body is... For us to make our Olympic team, we have to be at peak performance. And then you have to hold that peak through the Olympics. And it's very, very hard. So a lot of athletes spend way more time getting treatment than they actually do you know, competing or training.
Well, why don't they set it up differently then, so that there's enough time so that people are at peak performance at that point in time? Or do they want it to be that kind of a triathlon almost effect?
Well, they used to talk about that, trying to push our trials closer to the Olympics, but they just never have. It's always been about 6-8 weeks out. And, you know, any coach will say, well, you got to try to come down from that mentally and physically and then get back up. And it's a challenge. But, you know, when you make that Olympic team, you're on such a great high for so long that you just get through it. And a lot of times, you know, you have no idea what the outcome will be, but it's just so amazing to go. So I'm assuming that even though Reagan and, you know, all these other athletes that have the pressure on them, it is a breath of fresh air when they can roll out of bed the next day and say, I did it, now I can go and kind of just let it loose and see what happens.
Do you do that, though, when you get there, or do you put the same pressure on you again when you get to the games?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're going to put the pressure on, but I feel like the biggest pressure of the year or the highest pressure situation is just getting there. And then once you're there, you get back into real athlete mode and you're, you know, thinking about your strategy, and you're not thinking about what if, what if, what if. You're there, get it done. So I thought for me, and I think for most people, the trials are way more nerve-wracking than actually being there.
You were a team athlete growing up in high school as well, playing basketball, mm-hmm. volleyball, and all the sports that you could play. The difference between being an individual and a team when you go to the Olympics is what? What do you feel?
You know, for me, too, it was way different because normally you go with two other athletes in your event. So three people from each event in track and field get to go. The year I made it, no one else qualified. So I was the only one. So that was really strange because I was really an individual in the 1,500 meters for the U.S. And being on a team, I would have to say, even if it's a team of three, you have that partner to go through the warm-ups. You have that partner to say, hey, I'm running to the restroom for the last time, but for the 40th time. You know, you just have that other person to chat with. And thankfully, I had friends from other countries that I could kind of connect with, but I still walked into the stadium by myself. I still had to go and find my number by myself. I didn't have people. So I think that having that team, whether it's baseball, basketball, whatever it is, softball, whatever we're playing here or at the Olympics, it's just nice to have numbers and to have that person in your ear saying, we can do this. But when you're also there as an individual, it's all on you, and that's okay too. You know, you don't have to worry about what your position is, what you're doing. You got to get it done for you and nobody else. So I think there's perks to both, but for me, I wish that I would have had the two other ladies with me. That would have been pretty cool.
Now, last question. I saw this one day. I was out running with a guy, and he was a young guy. He was a high school kid, and he was a baseball player. And mm-hmm. and we're out for a run, and he just, at the end, I said, you know, we're going for a long run, and I said, let's go for it. Whoever wins, wins. And he blew me away, right? and I'm thinking to myself, as he did this, because it was effortless to me the way he did it, even though he really hadn't trained in distance running because he'd been a baseball player. And I'm thinking to myself, I wonder if he picked the wrong sport. And I thought, well, how do you know if he picked the right sport or not? If you were to say to a young athlete, how do you know if you're built for or made for doing what you did? Is there a natural lung capacity? Is there natural ability that you can test yourself in that would tell you whether or not early on so that you don't waste time with the sport, but at the same time you may have some gifts that you don't know? How do you counsel those people? How do you tell them what they need to know?
Well, you know, I think for me, early on, I grew up in Dawson, Minnesota, rural Minnesota, and they put us in everything, which is really good because then I got to see what I really loved. And I don't think you can be a world-class athlete, a very good athlete, without loving it. And, yeah, you might not always start the sport thinking this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. It took me a little time to really get what distance running was, but people saw it early. You never took me out of a basketball game because I didn't need a breather.
I mean, can you explain that, or is that just something that you think came natural to you?
I think they saw that it was natural for me. It did. I had to work hard, but even when I was in elementary school, they could see that I ran really fast in the mile. Like, I didn't try. I didn't know what I was doing. I just did it. I held the longest touchdown, Maxie.
You did?
On the playground. Yep. Fence to fence.
You went fence to fence in Dawson?
Yep, I did. So, you know, that's a claim to fame. But I think early on, people saw it in me. I didn't know it. But then once I got the itch, like, hey, it's kind of fun to see how far I can be up in that race, or it's kind of fun to see if I can win the workout. Even just winning the workout was something that I like to do, which I know some coaches, you have to really kind of be careful when you're training athletes for them not to win workouts. But early in my career, before I knew how to push too hard or not push that hard, I wanted to win. I wanted to be really good. And I think when you have an athlete that wants to be really good, that's when you know.
And that's more important than, say, measuring, trying to measure whether or not you run out of breath or not, huh?
Yeah, I think so. You know, science comes. I had a heart rate monitor when I was a senior because my dad trained with a heart rate monitor. Mm. I didn't do all that stuff. I ran 25, 30 miles a week. Kids run double that now. I never did two-a-days. I never ran more than 7 miles. You know, it did come pretty naturally for me. But I think the big thing at the end of the day, it's what I love to do. I would have my mom and dad go drive the routes to make sure it was exactly 3 miles, and then I wanted to beat that time.
Yep.
Every time I ran that route, the Skunk Hollow route in Dawson, whatever it was. So I think when you have a kid that's truly passionate.
Yeah, because you got to compete against yourself a lot to get this done, right? I mean, you have to come up with your own artificial, if you will, ways of measuring yourself.
Exactly. And I think when a kid does that, that's when you see something special. If you see a kid playing an extra 2 hours of violin just because they love it, if you see a kid wanting to act and they're there singing and doing things that maybe aren't, you know, they're not the best at, but they're working at those little things, that's when you got something.
Yeah, because even if they have the natural ability, it doesn't mean much unless they love it, you know. And so, you know, you can tell them that they're gifted in this, but if they don't care about the gifts, it doesn't matter, I guess.
Exactly.
Hey, Carrie, thank you so much. Always appreciate it. Look forward to talking to you anytime.
Yeah, and good luck to all those athletes out there, whether you're making Olympic teams or not.
Or the high school track meet this weekend, right?
Yes, exactly. Just keep getting after it. It's so much fun pushing yourself and setting those goals and those dreams.
You're awesome, Carrie. Thank you.
You too. Thanks, Max.
Carrie Tolleson, nice enough to join us.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.